On the aerial?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. On the engine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just asking about the aerial.
500 and check. There's a new configuration with the tanks that actually splits the difference and doesn't get in the way of the box for the torsion. I like the Sutphin personally. Has probably some of the better technologies there, but I'm also inquiring with E1 because I've never bought an E1 engine before. But I know that there's new configurations, how they put the tanks in the trucks. So trying to achieve as much gallons as possible. They are already going to have the heavier rear axle in the vehicle because it is a Quint. And I think it's only about 3 feet longer than an engine because we're not going to be having the cross walkway for the panel, top mount panel. It'll be a side mount panel, and that'll actually shorten the stature of the vehicle,
right?
Which actually is also safer for the firefighters, not going up and down on a truck like that.
Yeah.
You're probably familiar with the one that we looked at as a mid-mount. That way it's a lower for the trees, canopies, get you better as far as into these structures and targets within the city, and then achieve it. And lastly, I'll stop getting in his way. I probably put that idea out there with him. I agree with it anyway. It's more for the life hazard potential and positioning. As you know, these are two-lane roads. And when they've had any kind of fire significance, positioning of apparatus, you got the engine in there, and then you have this two-lane road, and basically if we can get something in there, it'd be more about life safety, in my opinion, to get reach into some of these garden apartments, larger structures, single-family homes that are multi-story. You know, 75-foot, we're probably going to be able to reach, you know, four good solid stories. When you have the frontage elevation of the structure and then actually making the reach at 62 degrees. So that's really, in my mind, I'm just thinking of the safety. Second means of egress for the firefighter if they got stuck upstairs, and also making rescue.
The mid-mount creates whole other challenges. If it's a forward pumper and you're going to use the aerial, the access to that is difficult because mid-mount positioning is critical. Rear mount opens you up to, you got a whole lot more options.
If I could just interject, this is still very preliminary. We're looking, at all the options and what's going to be the best configuration. We're not there yet. We've still got a little bit of time to go. In fact, it may not happen this coming fiscal year, but this is a discussion that we have to have now and start planning for the future as far as funding is concerned and the actual piece of apparatus and why we're doing that. So,
I'm just asking because the aerial is a, I'm all for an aerial, but it just has to be done properly. Otherwise, so many organizations go, we're going to throw a Quint in, and then in a few years they're like, this thing's terrible, we got to get rid of it. And it's a waste of money, waste of time, and it puts people at risk that it's unnecessary.
I agree. One of the things that we're really looking at and kind of drove this was the additional staffing that we're bringing on board this year. Having the additional staffing available for that piece of apparatus makes it a more practical piece of apparatus to run than just an engine. Right now we have two on the engine, two on the ambulance. It's not really a practical staffing for a ladder. Really, you should have four. But at least three, you can work with that more effectively. So that's another reason that we're looking at that at this time. So,
and the one other thing that I was going to say is Pierce and E1. I like Sutphin also. That's what I drove for 18 years. But E1 and Pierce both make a single axle 100 footer that would give you that much more access for not a whole lot more money. You're not losing a whole lot more out of it.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at all the vendors, size of the vehicle, what's going to fit in the station, if we have to do any station modifications. I mean, there's still a lot that we need to do. That's why we're starting it now, because we have time, but not that much time before we pull the trigger and decide what we need. So, questions on that?
I just have one question. Yeah. Well, first of all, I have a comment that your report is just beautiful. It's just so detailed.
Thank you.
But I actually have two questions. So the first one was getting back to this Quint ladder, 75-foot ladder. What is the I don't know anything about fire ladders, and what you guys were just discussing was completely foreign language to me. But what's the current capacity for how tall, I guess, is 75 foot is what you're requesting to be able to go up 75 foot, right?
No.
No. Or it's an angle.
It depends on the angle. Yep. The further back, the
yeah, you mentioned something about 62 degrees, blah, blah, blah.
And it's and I don't want people to think we're going to be driving up in front of the towers and throwing the ladder up and climbing up and down the top floor. That's not the intent. Certain structures you can do that, some you cannot. Good news with condominiums, they're exterior construction. So if there's a fire in a unit, they actually come outside their unit and they're not there's no atrium that they have to go to. Really what this is going to be used for are these properties that are off the streets. If you go down Atlantic, you've got some three-story homes that are actually a story above grade. Those are the types of structures we're really looking at to access with this piece of apparatus. Right now we have 24-foot extension ladders. That's it. Now, obviously, there's other agencies that have aerials, but they're Port Orange at City Center and Quint 2 at Botterford and Atlantic. And as Ryan mentioned, you know, they're going to be third, fourth due in. And if you know anything about firefighters, when they see fire, they drive up, park the truck, hop out, and start squirting water with not a lot of thought of, oh, there's somebody coming in behind us, we might want to make a hole. At least that's what they do here in this area. It's a thing. So having that piece of apparatus earlier in the incident allows us to spot it and put it in service more effectively, quicker. So.
And my second question, I was wondering if it was a typo, but
I'm sure
on page 2, replacement cascade system.
Yes.
Could be deferred to fiscal year 24-25. That's what we're talking about right now, though.
This will be 24-25. I think I may have just copied that from the last one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it said at the end of that section, it says this item was previously number one ranked priority list for 24-25, but that was last year. Was it ranked number one last year?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah.
So that was 23-24.
We did apply for an AFG grant, federal grant for that, and we were denied. We were turned down for that and the staffing grant. We were just notified that we didn't get that, either one of those grants. So here they are. Here that is.
Is there any other grants that are available for
some? Not really. No. And we're always going to be at a disadvantage because a lot of those grants are for volunteer departments or departments that don't even have what we have. Not that we couldn't get it, not that we wouldn't get it, but it's a very competitive process. We're going to try. We'll continue to try and do that. But, you know, this community is not, it's not some of the communities around the country that really are strapped for staffing and equipment. So just the way it is. Any other questions on those items?
Are you opening everything up?
Sure.
The second set of bunker gear?
Yeah.
Do the current sets of bunker gear have personal escape systems?
And
would these sets have personal escapes with them also?
Yes.
Okay. And I do have a question on, you have in the budget for a bunker gear dryer?
Yeah.
With the second set of bunker gear, would you need the dryer because you would have a second set to wear in the meantime?
Yes, I still need the dryer. Yes, we'll have a second set that they can wear, but it just gets them back in service that much more quickly, and it's actually better for the gear to dry it that way. So.
Anybody else have anything for Chief Glazier?
Going back to, and this is to help Fred out with the manpower.
Yeah.
Does the fire station, do you guys go check the hydrants and flush them?
So that's a great question. We have a company come in once a year. It's a hydrant service. I'm going to answer your question, but I want to preface it with, we do have a company come in once a year. They flow test, they maintain, paint, GIS, all the hydrants, and then the engine crews go out and flow them.
Do your guys go out and do it?
Because
if your guys went to go check all the hydrants and worked with Fred, we could save manpower with him sending his guys out because now your guys not only know how to work on a certain hydrant, you know, everybody could take a turn. It could be a drill, right? Yep. And then within a couple months, you could have every hydrant. Does it flush? Does it, you know, you could check it all out, write it down, give it to Fred, and now the ones that don't work, he can focus on that. I'm just making a suggestion because I want to get Fred some help here because he's got doesn't have enough people to go to these hydrants. We got all kinds of people to do hydrants on every shift, right? You could, well, I mean, you don't have to do them all in one day.
No.
You could do two hydrants a day or something like that.
We do that.
Okay.
We they're flowed twice a year.
You don't tell Fred.
Oh, no. We work closely with Fred, trust me. How do you think Fred finds out when the hydrant's broke?
Okay, good.
Yeah, they're flowed twice a year. My guys don't do maintenance on the hydrants.
Correct.
They're not certified. They will take the caps, flow them, put the caps on, and
I was just making like because he was talking about flushing, and just seeing if they work and if the stems are still are turning and stuff. That's all it is.
The flushing that he's talking about is not for hydrant maintenance. It's actually for water system flushing.
Okay.
We have automatic flushers installed, I think, on two hydrants. Yeah. They're on a timer. The hydrant's live, and 2 o'clock in the morning, it'll flush water to flush the water system out. That's what Fred's talking about.
I'm trying, Fred. I'm trying.
And the other challenge, the other flushing really is, it's not just send the engine company out and start flushing water, because once they start flowing that hydrant, it's going to flow for a few hours. And he usually has to dedicate somebody in that area to monitor that hydrant. It's not just going out, popping the caps off, okay, it's running clear, shut it. Those hydrants will run for hours at a time, and you just can't leave them unoccupied for a long period of time. That's the challenge.
But just to check them. I'm just saying, you know, like if the stem doesn't turn, you know what, we can't use this one.
Yep.
Because you could have a fire that day, and you know that one doesn't turn, you're kind of screwed. You got to go to the next one.
Yep, that's something that we do on a regular basis.
So if you've got to, if you have to designate a person for hours to flush a hydrant, then I could see how these automatic flushers would definitely pay for themselves in time.
So I'll tell you, it's a lot of money, but the automatic flushers are a game changer because these things are installed in the ground. They're attached to the water line. Right now, the hydrants that have hydrant flushers on them, if we need to use them for a fire, we've got to turn them off, take the hydrant flusher off, and put the hose on and turn it back on again. So that takes time, and it really impacts the use of that hydrant.
It's a good drill.
This takes that out of the equation. The hydrant flushers are in a dedicated location, for example, cul-de-sacs, dead ends. You can put them in strategically located areas. They automatically sample the water. That's the other thing that Fred didn't tell you. He's got to send guys out every day to sample chlorine levels throughout the town. That takes a lot of time to do that. And obviously, if they find chlorine levels that are too low, I got to flush the system out. These things sample the water, and when the residuals get to a certain level, they'll automatically flush it, and you'll never know it. We get people calling all the time, my God, look at the water you guys are wasting. This. It happens because it's common sense. You see all this water being dumped on the ground. People don't understand. That's just the cost of doing business with the water system. But that's why these automatic built-in flushers are really, 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 really important. Not just to save manpower, but to make sure that the water system is as good as we can keep it. So,
also for us in Orlando anyway, we found that even as us in the fire department going out and flushing hydrants, it wasn't the proper records for ISO. When ISO would come in and look at the water system, they wanted the water department responsible for.
Oh no, I'm not saying that. I just want somebody just to check. I'm just you know what? If I'm going to a fire, I want to make sure the hydrant that there is working.
Yeah.
So
have
I opened it before? Do I know that it works? Yeah. The water testing's up to you guys. That's fine.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that things work. And we got guys that can go out every day and turn a crank and see if it works. Oh yeah, water coming out of that one, this one works.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Twice a year the fire department does it and then the water guys do it.
That's all I want to say.
Great point. Thanks.
I don't want the fire department testing any water or anything.
I do have one comment on the stretcher, the power stretcher.
Yes.
That is a complete, that's one of the best things added to to the transport system in my career time.
Oh yeah.
It's it'll save back injuries. One back injury has paid for all of them.
So it's again, that's been a game changer for us too, as far as safety for the crew, safety for the patient, speed. It's a much safer operation than the manual stretchers were. And this one that we're recommending would be our second stretcher. The second ambulance we currently have does not have a stretcher. It's our backup, so we would move the stretcher back and forth. The challenge with that is if we do want to put a second truck in service, we don't have a stretcher, and if our main stretcher does fail, even though it's under maintenance and the company's great about coming in and fixing it, there may be a period of time we don't have a stretcher. We have to borrow one from someone else. This just gives us a lot more flexibility to stay in service.
Is it Stryker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any more questions for G Scales? No. Any public comments? Mr. Lear?
Good evening, Board. My name's Darren Lear. I'm your new Planning and Development Director. I'm happy to be here and happy to work with you folks.
Welcome.
I'm here to talk about the request for continued support for the South Peninsula Drive sidewalk project. Every year, when a local government who's applied for the TPO funding must apply a support letter for that project. As part of that support letter, applicants are required to provide an updated engineer's cost estimate for that project. We got that, and our updated estimate showed that the Phase 1 project cost increased by over 48%. The Phase 2 costs decreased by 4.5%, and Phase 3 costs decreased by 5.5%. Our town engineering consultant, Meaden Hunt, has confirmed that some materials have gone down. However, the unit cost of the trench drainage has risen significantly, and the Phase 1 segment is the only one with the trench drain, so that's why you're seeing that big increase in Phase 1. Also, the excavation and fencing costs have also risen. Design has begun already for it. Estimated construction is to start in 2026 and will be done in three phases. And with that, staff does recommend approval.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Lear? Well, then I will make the motion that we support the request and continue to support the South Peninsula Drive sidewalk project and forward to the town council with a recommendation of approval. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Good, Mr. Lear. Thank you.
Thank you, Board.
Okay. We're going to move to reports from staff. Chief Scales?
Good evening again. Yeah, I want to thank all of you for spending the time to listen to us drone on about our budget requests. I know it's not the most exciting stuff in the world, but your questions really do help make sure that the product that we produce when we get to the actual budget process is as good as it can be. And it's important to us that we have your support, your understanding, and your criticism on any of these projects. So I thank you for that. Fire department is doing well. We've had some staffing challenges, as we always do. I had two folks out on medical. I have one back, and I have one vacancy. So we're in the process of interviewing to fill two positions, and I got approval to bring one of our third new positions on a little bit early just to provide another body. The fire department modifications are proceeding. Chief Launderville's been working on that as far as converting some current space to bunk space and some storage. It's going to be tight for a little while, which reminds me that one of the things that we're also looking at in the big picture is a new facility, new fire department, and any other facilities that we can envision, and we have quite a few plans. We do know that we need a new fire station. That's without doubt. But there's some concepts out there about doing a combination fire station replacement, community center replacement, among other things. So you will be hearing over time some discussions on that. So we welcome your input on that as well. If you have any ideas or thoughts on how to proceed. I would appreciate that input from you all. So, but we are working on that. That's a multi-year process. I hope it gets done before I leave, but I don't know. But I'm hoping. My fingers are crossed. So look out for that. Other than that, it's actually been a quiet few months. Surprisingly scary, even with the crazy weather that we've had. It's been okay. The folks that we have now are some of the best people that I think I've had work for me in a long time. And I can tell you that, you know, Chief Launderville's, you know, even though it's been a relatively short tenure, he's brought a lot of good things to the department. He's been a good mentor to our folks, and he brings a lot of experience and thought to this department, the community. It's going to make it a much, much better department, and I'm really happy and excited to have him here. And you'll see him here in place of me from time to time. He's very, very capable, and I'm glad he's here, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chief, real fast, in March, if I think it would be beneficial to everybody. A lot of people don't know what the quint is.
Yes.
And if that's the way you want to go, you know, the quintuple, blah, 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 explain it to everybody, because a lot of people don't know the difference between a truck, an engine, and a quint. They have no clue. So when you're looking for $1.5 million for a, you know, a vehicle, nobody knows what you're talking about.
Sure.
So I'm, you know, keep it, you know, very basic and everything, but I think it'll help everybody else, especially in the council, make up their mind, because, you know, they don't never heard of this stuff before.
Well, I think Chief Launderville is already working on the presentation.
Sorry, I apologize, by the way.
Oh.
No. He
I'm not going to blame you.
No, that's a great point, and we're already working on the presentation for that. Yep. Yep.
That was it.
Great point.
Chief, I understood it was a big red truck. Right.
Well, you know, law enforcement, I know it's red, you know. You know.
Thank you, sir. Chief Glazier.
Good evening again, Jeff Glazier, Pontinland Police Department. So we were given two positions in the current budget. I currently have one applicant who's going through a background process, seems to be a pretty decent applicant. He's a retiree from another agency, about 25 years of experience. The other one, we don't have any, no good applications. I've got about 10 in a folder, and I'm not going to put any of them through a background. So it takes us a good 20 to 25 applications to get two good officers, so we're still working on that. Crime has been very low, no significant incidents to talk about. My guys are really hitting the traffic pretty hard on the peninsula and the Atlantic corridors. My traffic for 2023 was up about 28%. And it doesn't mean 28% tickets, it just means 28% traffic stops, and then they either do a ticket or they do a warning. Our next big event in town is going to be the Legends Parade in February, and so we're going to be all hands on deck for that. I cancel off days for that, and I bring in my whole team, including my reserves, and we all staff up for that event. We've had some recent events that went very well. You know, the Christmas Parade, the 5K last weekend, we had a motorcycle rally, a poker run, and my guys have been staying on top of that. You know, we use Volusia County Intelligence almost weekly to determine if there's anything going on in Volusia County that's going to come into Ponce Inlet so that we can be ready for it. So things are good. My team is working well together. Morale is high, and we're going to hopefully have a good 2024.
Chief, I understand some of those other agencies chased a bad guy into our city a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's correct. So on the 30th, we had a chase that initiated in Port Orange. And originally a vehicle initially refused to stop for a Port Orange police officer. He chased them around Port Orange, came across the Dunlawton Bridge, and then they went southbound on South Atlantic. We always hope they go northbound, but they went southbound. My guys did not engage with it. Chases are, I've been in hundreds of chases, and chases are risk versus reward, and the risks almost always outweigh the reward, 99.9% of the time. So when I came to Ponce Inlet, I changed my entire chase policy. It's extremely strict. You have to have a forcible, violent felony to even engage in a chase. And then my supervisor's probably going to cancel it anyways. But this chase continued. It was a Port Orange chase. They chased him down to Lighthouse Point Park, high rate of speed. They went into the park, and then he bailed out somewhere near the dog beach, and they were able to apprehend him. That suspect was charged with fleeing, reckless driving. They said he drove towards one of the Port Orange police officers, so they charged him with aggravated assault, and he had cocaine in his vehicle. So those were all the charges. Yeah, so I don't like chases in Ponce Inlet unless it's absolutely necessary. My first phone call was to the Port Orange police chief. I told him to look into the chase, to read the CAD notes, look at the speed, and then just to get back to me to see if they would approve it. So it's chase comes down to what a supervisor does. We can always say, you know, we want you guys to shut down, but it's going to be up to the Port Orange supervisors to cancel their chase.
It's good policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other questions?
No, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Griffith.
Good evening. Thank you for listening.
He jumped you, Mr. Laird.
Oh, I'm sorry, out of order.
You're fine. You're good.
Public Works Director Fred Griffith. For the new folks, we have 10 people in Public Works. Myself, my manager, my office manager, my assistant, who's phenomenal, and a custodian that takes care of all the city building, town buildings. And then we have six workers. Usually we have six workers. Right now we're down to four. We lost one yesterday. Jeff Miller died. And Stanley Barnhart transferred to code enforcement. If you haven't heard, Jeff Miller did pass away yesterday. His father found him, so we were out looking for him. We called his father. His father went to investigate and found him passed away on the floor. So, so anyway, we lost Jeff. We're in a close-knit bunch. They bonded together. We had a little wake at lunchtime today in our office. And obviously, we're taking care of everything in the town. I have the best bunch of guys, but we are currently, we had four applicants for the positions we had available. We had two empty, now we have three empty, and we're in the process of hiring those two, and then we had two more applications today. Kim mentioned to me that we have two more applications come in, so hopefully we can get a third person hired in relatively short order. Don't want to go into all the gory details, but look around Town Hall. They've done an awesome job clearing away the vines and the volunteers have worked with us very well. We're really proud of that. I'm proud of everything my guys do, and my guys and gals do. I have an office manager that's awesome. So everybody's great, doing a great job. Come by Public Works, and we'll show you around. We do need a parking lot, though. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? No. Thank you. Mr. Lear.
I'm very pleased to announce that Patty Rippey has been promoted to principal planner in our department. So now we'll be looking for a senior planner. So if you know anybody, send them our way. With that, I have no further comment unless you have questions for me.
No questions?
Nope.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Shibano.
Good evening again. I just want to let you all know we still have three additional alternate seats. So if you know anybody that is looking to participate on the board, we do have three open. One is for financials, one is for engineering, and one is for outreach, personnel, or HR. So we do have those seats available. So if anybody knows anybody, bring them into our office. We're happy to talk with them.
Hey, advertising, or is it just word of
mouth?
Yes,
it's advertising,
it's actually
too.
Out there. Okay.
Yeah, so... yes, and just wanted to let you know that these are just some preliminary budget items coming forward. If you have more questions or need further information, our department heads are available to speak with, to answer or show you around if you have concerns with them. Okay, and other than that, I would like to introduce, I don't know if everybody has met, our new assistant deputy clerk, Stephanie Gessing, and she came from the building department. I stole her. So that's it. That's all I have.
Welcome, Stephanie. Thanks. Anybody have any questions for Ms. Shibano? Do we have anybody in the public that would like to make a statement about something? All right. Well... it is 7 o'clock, and the Essential Services Advisory Board is now adjourned. Thank you.